I'm so grateful Jonah could share our scripture with us this morning. Let's listen to Jonah read it now.
Hello. I will be reading the script. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the message you heard. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true to him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shines. The one who claims to be in the light while hating a sibling is in darkness even now. The person loving a sibling stays in light, and there is nothing in the light that causes a person to stumble. But the person who hates a sibling is in the darkness and lives in the darkness and doesn't know where to go because the darkness blinds the eyes. Bye.
Bye, Jonah. I do appreciate that our young people continue to offer our scriptures for us, sharing and engaging in the Word. Now, every 5,000 years, when the planets and the black holes align just right, a great evil appears. This is the message in The Fifth Element that an archaeologist finds on a wall of stone in the temple of an Egyptian desert, a temple that may seem ancient and primitive, but actually houses an alien defense weapon. This weapon is the only force powerful enough to stop the pure evil that threatens to destroy all life across the galaxy. That's right, it's movie month here at Highlands, and we're taking on the ever-vivid, quirky science fiction tale, The Fifth Element. You did not need to see the movie to appreciate the conversation today, and if you haven't seen it, it is a fun movie. I was actually very excited to see it on Joy's list of favorite movies. Thank you ever so much. It's also on mine, but we can't just pick only my movies. So I picked one of my favorite movies on your list of favorite movies. So that works. Thank you for that. I was excited to see it. I've loved this movie since it came out in the late 90s. It's as humorous as it is colorful, which is saying something, because it's just so bright and vivid and moving. Anyone who's ever seen this movie knows the innocent wonder of phrases like, big bada boom, or multipass. Some very fun, unique things happening in this film. Now, my list of possible sermon topics for this one was quite long. We could talk about redemption, identity, religious tradition. There was a lot to work with. But I realized this sci-fi adventure film offers us something we don't encounter so clearly. So right before us, this movie offers us an opportunity to talk about evil. The Fifth Element is an allegory of good versus evil in the clearest of senses. The destructive force that becomes this physical presence larger than the very planet is spoken of in those exact and very terms. A priest from this ancient tradition that guards that temple, the one that holds the secrets, tries to explain to the galactic president, this is pure evil. You can't just shoot this problem away. He says it's evil, absolute evil. The president simply responds, that's just one more reason to shoot first and ask questions later. The priest tries to warn him, evil begets evil, Mr. President. Shooting will only make it stronger. And as the rockets and the bombs crash into the surface of this giant evil orb, it doubles in size. The more hate and anger they fire at it, the bigger it becomes. And this is when I realized the direction the sermon needed to go in. It's not something I talk about very often. We don't talk about evil very often. But also that concept of what it is to feel hate and feel anger. I need to be honest with you. I've been carrying some anger. Not at anyone in particular. There's not a person I'm angry with. But I have some anger towards the last year and a half. I have some anger towards lies and division. I have anger towards racism and broken systems. I have anger towards a virus and who and what it's taken from us. There's a lot of things that have been making me angry. And as we see a spike in new cases with variants, I don't want my child to have to learn the entire Greek alphabet because we can't get our act together. I find myself angry again. Now, my anger isn't quite planetary in size like the thing in the movie is. But my anger is there, and I don't think I'm alone. I look around and I see some angry people in the world, some handling it well, some not handling it well. I see it in the ways people interact. I see it in short tempers, the aggression in driving, strongly worded emails, abrupt exchanges over the littlest things. And much like in the movie, it seems to just be growing and growing, and no one knows what to do about it. And so we have to have a conversation about anger and evil. Now, in any conversation about evil from the pulpit, I want to be very clear. When I speak of evil, I am not talking about a personified force that has a name and a physical presence. I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual warfare where we're trying to be tricked and taken advantage of. To me, evil is an intentional departure from God's will for love. Now, that's different than the mistakes we make as people, right? The accidental departures, the failures, the falling short, just screwing up in life. Those things aren't evil. Theologically, we would use the term sin, but casually, I use phrases like I just did. Yes, the failures, the falling short. Those are realities of being human while God is still at work in us as we still grow. Evil is different. Evil is an active, an intentional pursuit driven by selfishness and greed and the want of power. Evil isn't something someone is. Evil is something someone does. And it is germinated and spurred forward and exponentially propelled by unchecked anger. And in a cruel irony, the anger and frustration that we feel witnessing evil, when we see evil in the world and that makes us angry, it can actually add to and increase what's happening around us in negative ways. Evil begets evil, just like the priest warns in the movie. And one of the most dangerous things we can do is believe that only other people, only bad people, only they are capable of evil. One of the most dangerous things we can do is believe that we're not capable of it ourselves. See, that's the pernicious lie that evil relies on. So hear me clearly. We are all capable of evil. I mean, that's the reason Jesus names it in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gets asked, how should we pray? And he's got one chance to name some of the most important things. And what does he put in there? Deliver us from evil. We wouldn't need to be delivered from it if we weren't capable of it. Now, for those of you not expecting such a heavy lift in this week's sermon, fear not, next week is a romantic comedy. But I believe it is essential to our personal, our communal, our global well-being to consider this difficult reality. Because I see evil in our world. I see anger in our world. And if we do not address it, if we don't tend to it, that anger that we feel will only add to the evil that exists. And so we turn to the scriptures for insight and advice. In a letter known as 1 John, we find an apt description of our situation. The author of the scriptures using this metaphor of light and dark. Now let us also take a moment to recognize we are talking about light, the energy of light, and the absence of light. And in no way will I allow us to perpetuate the historic in inaccurate attempts to apply such judgments to the idea of light is good and dark is bad that then were evilly applied to skin color. So we need to name that light and dark are not that. Now, hear the scripture again. The one who claims to be in the light while hating a sibling is in the darkness even now. The person loving a sibling stays in the light, and there is nothing in the light that causes that person to stumble. One of the things that is most striking to me about this scripture is its acknowledgement that what we claim as people and what we do as people are not always in alignment. We see that in others so easily, and if we're willing to take an honest look, we can see it in ourselves as well. How many times have we experienced people claiming to be loving who are actually perpetuating hate? Claiming the light while stumbling in the dark, hurting those around them. Another thing that is so striking to me about this scripture is its simple prescription. What do we do about this conflict of light and dark and hate and evil and anger? Love one another. That's the source of light. That is the way of light. Loving one another is even the product of light. Loving one another not only brings us into the light, it creates more light. It sounds so easy, but it's not easy. I mean, Jesus even says so himself when he reminds us, yeah, hey, I'm going to need you to love those who persecute you. Loving people who love you, Jesus says, oh, anybody can do that. It's easy to love the people that love you. The real work is to love those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, that's hard work. And also to pray without agenda, right? Like that it's not about my own desire for that person, but a bigger desire. I mentioned earlier, I've noticed some anger in myself. The people, the systems, the choices that I observe that make me angry. And here's the scripture saying that if I want to live in the light, I have to love and pray for them. That's not how I feel. Honestly, it's easier to just hate them and let my anger seethe. At least it seems to be easier until I realize it's eating me alive. I hope this isn't too honest for anyone, but I'd rather be speaking about real things than in some abstract terms dancing around it. I thought we might as well name it. And maybe, just maybe, if I can name the hate and the anger that I carry in me sometimes, we might all be brave enough to name it in ourselves. When I see evil in the world, I get angry and it creates feelings of hate. And that's how we get pulled out of the light of love. That is how evil begets evil. Now, I'm not asking you to pretend you're not angry. There is some righteous anger in this world. Pretending we're not angry actually can make things worse. But I will ask you to join me in naming and working through the anger so that it doesn't control us in ways we are unaware of. See, when we do that, when we will acknowledge it and validate it and say, yeah, I'm angry, and I'm even angry for some good reasons, if we can do that, it helps us keep from weaponizing our anger in ways that only perpetuate all the problems. When I see people's actions and choices, when I see systems and institutions that are actively and intentionally departing from God's will for love, I need to stop and acknowledge the anger and the sadness that I feel. I do. I feel sad. I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated. I feel confused. I feel heartbroken. Take your pick of terms. When we can put words to it, we can begin to not let it take us from the light. And then instead of letting it consume me, I begin the work of choosing love. And hear that clearly. It's not like I'm like just, okay, I choose love and it's over. Choosing love is work. It can take so many tries. And thankfully, God is not judging us for how many tries it takes us. God is just grateful that we keep trying to love. That's the blessing. And I tell you, in the simplest way, sometimes the most love I can generate for those who are perpetuating evil is simply to pray, I want better for them. Okay, more clearly, I'm probably praying, I want better from them. But that sometimes is the best prayer I can offer. God, I want them to be and choose better. God, I want our world to be and choose better. And yes, God, I need to want to choose and be better. The light in such a prayer may not seem the brightest. I can't give you some magic words that suddenly make it all go away, but what I hope we can do is kindle a spark together, a tiny little glimmer. It may not be bright, but that is not adding to the problem anymore. Instead of letting the darkness grow, I am creating a space for light to grow. Now, in The Fifth Element, this wonderful science fiction movie, the weapon that defeats the evil is made of, cleverly named, five elements. And it's earth and wind and fire and water. Those are the first four. But the fifth element is the perfect human being, from which, when a part of this connection of the elements, a literal beam of light, so powerful it can drive away all darkness and evil from existence. But that powerful light from that perfect human doesn't simply happen on its own. As the movie reaches its high point, as the planetary size orb of evil is rocketing towards Earth, it is literally mere seconds. You can hear someone counting down in the background. It's about to obliterate all life. That perfect being looks to an imperfect being for the spark. That perfect being looks at someone who's doing their best to work through life and failing constantly and looks at them for the little spark that can ignite everything. The light is looking for the glimmer of hope that can bring forth something more, and that is our invitation today. To confront anger and evil in our world, not with perfection, because honestly, we don't have it to offer. But what we can offer is our best effort as we seek light and love together. We bring forth our spark, knowing that anytime we do, we are no longer feeding the darkness. We are helping drive it away. Amen.